stop the music. Let's stop the music. Hello, people, and once again, it's that time, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And it's an end or maybe the beginning of a week or end of a hot, hot week. And you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220, the number to call in. And it's the place to be if you want to talk to me. We're going to be talking about some fantasy football. We're going to be constantly on that theme. Training camps have opened up. And you know, things are gearing up for the regular season and also the fantasy football season. So to start things off, I started it last week. I'm going to keep on going and doing that same thing this week. The do's and don'ts leading up and including your fantasy football draft. Also going to be talking about, started on Thursday, I'm going to end it on Sunday today, but now, about the things that you may be looking at, or you should be looking at, going into the training camp, where a lot of these training camps have either started, some of them already started, or going to be gearing up and starting this week. If you don't know what this is, for you youngsters that don't know what this is a Kool & the Gang old school song called Summer Madness. I'm going to play a minute or two of this, and I'll be right back.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sylvia.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
That's right. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. That's on Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in. I'm telling you, people, very, very stimulating conversation. And maybe you can call in and give Sylvia your Time Out moment. Your moment of truth or whatever it may be. It's a very, very good show. I suggest if you listen to my suggestions, I suggest you listen because I think you will enjoy the time that you spent listening to that show. All right, let's get into this show, okay? I gave you the number to call. I gave you how you can communicate with me through phone or chat or whatever, over the internet, whatever. All right? Now, first off, I had someone call me, chat me last week. I don't know if he's going to show up this week. But he seemed to challenge me on my, the way I suggested on people drafting. Okay? And I'm not taking offense to it. I'm just saying he seemed to challenge me. And we went back and forth. If you listened to the show last week, we went back and forth because I responded to whatever he was chatting. I responded on air. And we had it. He had the chat. I had an actual conversation on air, quite naturally. And I challenged him. I told him to give me his email address in the chat, which he gave me an email address. And I passed it on to a friend of mine who happens to be looking for members, owners, or whatever you want to call them, in a fantasy football league, ESPN style. So, in essence, I said, well, I want you to check to test your prowess or prove your prowess on being able to outdraft and play in a fantasy football league. Since he said he played in fantasy football, and I'm not saying he knew more than me, but in essence, I threw down a gauntlet and asked him for a challenge. He gave me his email address. I passed it on, like I said, and that was a week ago. He has yet to join the league. Well, so my man, and I'm assuming it's a guy, but if it's not, it's fine. The person who chatted with me, and I'm not going to, you know what? I'll do this. Lethal Migraine, okay? That's who his chat name was, Lethal Migraine. Do me a favor. If you're listening, email me if you got the invite. Email me if you didn't get the invite. And I'll give you my email address right now. Okay? It's J, as in the letter J, Taylor, all one word, J, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 342, at Comcast.net. So Lethal Migraine, the person that I said I was going to invite you into the league commissioner, who's a friend of mine, told me he sent you an invite less than an hour after I got off the air, less than an hour last week, that we conversed through chat. So all I'm telling you is this, and you're free to do, quite naturally, you're free to do what you want to do, but put up or shut up, my man, or my lady. Put up or shut up. You talked a big game. Bring it on. Test your prowess, or your fantasy football prowess and knowledge, on what you think you can what you think you can do. I gave you my email address. I have yours in front of me right now. I'm not going to say it over the air. That wouldn't be right. But I gave you my email address. If you listen to the show, Lethal Migraine, and we went back and forth, which was a week ago today, which was the 14th of July. If you still want to join this league, even if you don't, acknowledge that you did receive the email, and either you are going to accept it and haven't done it yet, or are going to decline it for some reason. I understand what you told me about the timeline, or time that was you unavailable to be drafting. But you did state that you should be able to make that time and date. So email me. I'll tell you the email address again, Lethal Migraine. It is J as in the letter J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, that's one word, 342 at Comcast.net. or anyone out there who's listening, if they would like to join a fantasy football league and test your prowess against members of the FSP crew that are in this league, email me on that email address that I just gave you. Give me some background information on how much fantasy football experience you have, and also including if you've won some championships or not. I mean, there's no prerequisite on the experience and the whether you won championships or not, depending on the amount of people we get through my email. I'll have to sift through it, and I don't know any of you from Adam, so I have to sift through it and just randomly pick some people, and you can test your knowledge and your fantasy football draft knowledge, fantasy football draft experience or knowledge, I should say, and your know-how throughout the year, to see if you can beat the members of this network. There's several of us in this league, and among others, and I think you enjoy, and you never know. There may be something at the end of the rainbow for someone that is not of the network that wins the championship. But you have to be in it to win it. That's all I have to say. You have to be in it to win it. Anyway, let me get away from that. Spend a little bit, maybe a little too. That's all right. I spend a little bit, but I wanted to get my point across to Lethal Migraine. I don't see you in your chat right now. Hopefully, you listen to the archive. And you have two ways to get in there. One is you got an invite. If you didn't get the invite, email me. I gave you my email address more than once. And we'll make sure you get that invite, okay? Maybe it went to the wrong email address. But if you email me and let me know one way or the other, if you want in, then I'll have your email address once you email me. Or you want out, then I'll know that to tell my friend, the commissioner, to pull the invite. Which is fine. That's not a problem. No problem. Just let me know one way or the other. Anyway, let's get into fantasy. And I had talked about this before. I had talked about fantasy do's and don'ts. And I had started it. And we were going back and forth with this guy or this person, Lethal Migraine, last week. And I may have lost track of the do's and don'ts. So I'll for those who didn't get them, I'm going to refresh your memory, and I'm going to probably jump off around. Let me back up again. Probably going to jump around back and forth a little bit, but just follow me here because hopefully I give you something that you may not have thought of or whatever, and it'll help you out. Now you know it's been about 150 days. Since the Super Bowl. It's been about 150 days since you saw Jacoby Jones when he took the ball to end zone to kick off the second half. And it's been about 150 days since why is this doing this? Since about football, okay? It's just around the corner, people. It's just around the corner. And more importantly, fantasy football is just around the corner and is back and better than ever. You know, there's a lot of people that play fantasy football. And you know why. I mean, the main reason, because the NFL is as popular as it's ever been. ESPN is up there, and you know the NFL Network and ESPN and other shows have shows dedicated to fantasy football. Probably the most notable is the one on ESPN with Matthew Berry and company, okay? Tim Hasselbeck and company. But, I mean, they have some on the NFL Network has them. NBC has them. CBS has them. Jamie Eisenberg and company. So, and I'm not pushing one over the other. I'm just giving you, as you already know, how popular fantasy football is. Now, everybody is gearing up and everybody's pumped up in the beginning of this time of season when training camps start opening up. And for those of you, I'm going to name off all these training camps. I'm going to name off all these rookie camps that are starting up. Tampa Bay and New Orleans and Cleveland and Miami to yesterday, including Dallas, have all opened rookie camps, and the rookies are gearing up right now. Okay, now Monday, Baltimore, New England, Carolina, St. Louis, and Houston. My Houston Texans are today. Today's the 21st, right? Yes, today's the 21st. So those four rookie camps open up. Okay? Buffalo's tomorrow, along with Kansas City, New York Jets, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Indianapolis and Arizona follow on the 23rd. On the 24th, Hard Knocks participant Cincinnati, along with Denver, San Diego, Tennessee, Atlanta, Seattle, and Washington open up. And 25th, Jacksonville, Oakland, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. And last but not least, the rookie camps, Pittsburgh and the Giants. Now, along with those rookie camps, supposedly rookie camps open up, veterans join in, okay? But veterans really don't join in. The rookie camp really doesn't start, like I had said, the Cincinnati, Denver, San Diego. Well, that's on the 24th. So along with on the 24th, this is the same teams when the rookies come in, the veterans come in too. So it's not like you separate them just like a lot of teams do. San Diego, Tennessee, Denver, Atlanta, Seattle, and Washington, all on the 24th. Rookies come in, veterans come in. On the 25th, Oakland comes in with the rookies, and so does Chicago and Green Bay. And the veterans, they all come in, along with Minnesota. So on the 25th, Oakland, Chicago, Green Bay, and Minnesota, they all come in with the rookies. Same day. Giants in Pittsburgh, same day. And last but not least, now Indianapolis, their rookies come in on the 23rd, but the veterans are the last ones to come in of any training camp in Indianapolis. They come in on the 27th. So this is a big week, people. This is where really, really, and I'm so excited. I'm goosebumps excited about football coming here. And when football comes in, right, run parallel, fantasy football comes in, and everybody starts gearing up and looking forward to trying to get that championship. So the first thing I want to talk about, I talked about it last week, and I'll regurgitate it and bring it back out again today. And I talk about it again today. Is one my number one fantasy do. My number one fantasy do. Do pay close attention to your league's scoring system. And I tell you a quick story. Well, maybe not a quick story because I'm not a quick explaining guy. I'll give you the story. Let me put it that way. Two fantasy seasons ago, I was in one of these fantasy football leagues, and the league commissioner, a friend of mine, had made a mistake in the league settings and didn't realize it, and apparently a lot of the other league members didn't realize it. But I looked at it and realized it, and when the draft came, I geared my draft to specifically enhance my chances of winning the league, the matches week to week and winning the league because of the scoring settings. He realized them, I guess, maybe two or three matches into the season, the mistake he made. But you can, but for most part, it's bad thing to do to change the settings after people have drafted. Well, because of the way I drafted and because of the players I had, I was fortunate enough to win the league due to that scoring. So it's very important if you don't pay attention to your league settings, your league scoring system. You could be drafting one way and your league and be counter productive in trying to get your team the maximum amount of points each week because you drafted quite the opposite of what your league scoring system is. So that my number one rule, my absolutely number one rule, is pay close attention to your league scoring system. Very important. Is it a standard league? Is it a PPR, points per reception? That's key. That's key. How many points do you get per reception? Is it a point? Is it a half a point? What is it? You follow what I'm saying? Is your quarterback? Do you get points for each completion or incompletion taken away from you? Points taken away from you for every incompletion. That has a lot to do with it because quite naturally. Quarterbacks are people too, contrary to popular belief. They're not machines. And they don't do the same thing week in and week out. So some quarterbacks are more consistent than others. So if that's the case, and your scoring system gives you points for accuracy, give you points for completions, and takes away points for incompletions, quite naturally you don't want a quarterback like Mark Sanchez, who's very inaccurate, or someone of that ilk. You want somebody that's very accurate, like a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees, just for example. So, and then in that, also in that vein, is it 4 points or 6 points for a touchdown pass from the quarterback? Does the quarterback get 4 points or does he get 6 points? It makes a big difference. 6 points, the quarterback's more relevant than 4 points. Okay? If 4 points, the quarterback's still relevant, but he's not as relevant as if it was 6 points. The skill positions, like the especially the wide receiver and the running back, and some tight ends, depending on what tight end it is, are more relevant in a six-point touchdown reception than a quarterback thrown for 4 points. So, I mean, let me put it this way. You had Tom Brady and Ron Gronkowski, and it's 6 points. In my opinion, you try to get that hookup because the fact is you're going to get 12 points on your team when they hook up. 12 points. Tom Brady gets 6 points. Gronk gets 6 points. And then if he catches a pass, he gets another point. And if Tom Brady completes that pass, he gets a point because that's points per reception. He gets a point for every reception he receives. He gets 6 points for the touchdown. Tom Brady, if not in every league, but some leagues, award a quarterback for a reception. So he'll get a point for a touchdown pass. I mean, he'll get 6 points for a touchdown pass. And also, because he completed that pass, he'd get another point. So in essence, it's not 12 points. In that scenario, it's 14 points. Bang, just like that. So in some cases, it's good to have that type of hookup, and in some cases, it's not. I've done that before, and it's worked either way. So that's my first do. Long do, but it's a first do. First do is know your league scoring system. Absolutely imperative that if you don't know anything else, know your league scoring system, and then you can build from there. Number two, for most people, I'm not saying all, for most people, the first person they draft in the first round is a running back. That's your stud. That's your number one running back. That's the guy that you think is going to get the most points for out of your running back position, your workhorse, your big dog. Protect your star running back with their backup. Or, as they always say in fantasy football language, the handcuff. All right? So if you get Marshawn Lynch, for example, then I would back him up with Robert Turbin. Now, you don't have to do it the next round. I'm not saying that. But, like most people, Robert Turbin is not going to really get that much time because the fact is he's the backup. And he's the backup for a reason. Something happens to Marshawn Lynch, Robert Turbin comes in there. So you'll be able to get him late in the draft, but you have to pick the spot where is the best spot to get him. You don't want to try to wait. Let me put it this way. It's a feel type of thing, but if you have a stud running back, if you have your stud running back, if you've drafted a running back in the first round who's your big dog, it would greatly put your mind at ease to get his backup just in case your main running back has a season-ending injury and it's not going to be coming back that season. Quite naturally, his backup is going to get the most play. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do the same things your stud running back has done, but he's in the same system. True, he's the backup for a reason, but he's in the same system. And if it's a good system, it's a good possibility that he's going to do a serviceable job. Now, I'm not saying he's going to completely replace him. I'm not saying that. I mean, you have to look at the type of backup he is. If it's a good backup, then yeah, handcuff him. If it's not, and he can go in a different direction of someone else's handcuff, then do that. But for the most part, I've always tried to draft a handcuff to my first round running back. Okay? That's number two. Number three, and this is very tricky because you can go two ways with this, and it can help you and hurt you in the same vein. Pay attention to your bye weeks and late season opponents. Why I say this for both of them? They both have to do with the schedule. Both are equally as important. You don't want to be on a bye week for your opponent by having your backups all playing one specific week. Now, for the most part, and I've drafted this way before, and I've been pretty successful. I've tried to draft the best available player for one, and number two, get that player that doesn't match a bye week of another stud player. So I, at least I'm in strength at each position, regardless if I have a the first guy I drafted in that position or the second guy I drafted in that position. So it's important. It's important that you try to work it that way to avoid having, say, week eight. And you drafted a whole bunch of players in week eight. Is there a bye? What's going to happen? Week eight come, you won't have. Let's say your starting lineup is this: Ray Rice, Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, and Andrew Luck. All of those guys bye week on week eight. All right, if I'm not mistaken. Just say. Now that looks pretty good, but when you get to week eight, you're starting all the backups in those positions. And that's one running back, your stud running back, Ray Rice, two stud wide receivers, Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, and Andrew Luck. Now you've basically given that week to your opponent. It's like, here, take this win. And saying, well, I won't need that one. But I can't stress to you enough that the fact you need to have a list of teams that are on bye on you or handy during the draft. Now, that one bye week that you gave up, in essence gave up, could be the difference on whether you get to the playoffs or not. You have to think that on average, and I'm not saying every league is like this, but on average, Your fantasy season goes from week 1 to week 13. All right, you get 4 weeks after that. Week 14 and 16 usually is when the playoffs are. Some leagues go to week 17. Okay, but usually between week 14 and 16, a lot of leagues are in the fantasy playoffs. You want to be one of those teams. On average, it takes 8 wins to get to the playoffs. 8 wins. So you have 13 weeks to get 8 wins. Well, on average, I'm saying. And because week 14 to 16, for most leagues, some leagues will go to week 17. Like I said, in fact, I have two leagues that go to week 17. I think it's 2 weeks. You need 8 wins. 8 wins will get you into the playoffs. You don't want to give up a week if you don't have to. You don't want to concede because you have X amount of players on a bye week and you can't field a strong enough team to go up against your opponent to possibly get a win that week. Now, that fluky things have happened. Crazy things have happened. I've seen teams that had one or two players on a bye week and they couldn't field anybody of any kind of anything. I mean, they put the player in position, but it basically was just giving up the position and the points in that position, I should say. Against an opponent that fielded a full team. I've seen that happen. But that's fluky stuff. That's stuff that doesn't happen all the time. Fluky things can happen in football. They always do. They always have. But 8 wins. Just think about that, people. 8 wins on average it takes to get into the playoffs. You don't want to give up a week if you don't have to. So pay attention to your bye weeks and draft accordingly. Draft so that you do have serviceable players for each week, not one. Of course, I mean every team has a bye week, quite naturally, and you're not going to not have a player from week to week when the byes start coming. You're going to have a player that's going to be sitting down. Let me put it that way. Now I'm not going to say every week, but on the most part, a couple weeks, at least a couple weeks, you're going to have somebody on a bye week. I'm just saying. So you can't get away from that. But you want to minimize the damage. That's what I'm trying to say. You want to minimize the damage. All right. We'll be right back.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Yes, information, motivation, always, and variety. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. Tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be the host along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie, and Jeff the Joker. All right, Black's from D.C. I am from Jersey, along with Jeff, and we go around the spectrum of sports and whatever else happens to be of some subject matter. We just don't confine ourselves. We do a lot of sports, but we just don't confine ourselves to sports. We don't pigeonhole ourselves like that. So. And we're willing to take on any subject at any time. So tune in and indulge in the conversation. All right. Let's get to this. Where am I at? Oh, do's and don'ts. All right. Let me put it this way. I suggest you participate, especially for those, and I do it all the time. I did one yesterday. I'm going to probably do a couple more today. Participate in fantasy mock drafts. I don't care what site you go to, whether it's CBS, whether it's ESPN, whether it's Yahoo, or any other sites that have fantasy football. Participate in mock drafts at that site. And get a feel for what players are going in what position. Now, CBS has their own rankings. NFL.com has their rankings. ESPN, Yahoo have all four of those major ones that I'm talking about have their rankings, and all of them are different. No two are exactly alike. So, depending on what you like to play in fantasy football of those four or whatever, know that they're basing them on those rankings, and just get a feel for what you may encounter. It's not going to be an exact science, but you get a good idea of ADP of different players. And for those that are novices that don't know what I'm talking about, it's average draft position. Of each player. Each player is when I say average draft position, each player is picked in a certain spot in a draft. If it's a 16-round draft, 10 or 12 teams, depending on what it is, 10 or 12 teams, on the average is 12 teams. Depending on average draft position is where the player may be picked in what round and what position in that round. So like average draft position of Adrian Peterson for the most part is the first player taken in the first round. Okay? I'm just saying. Maybe the average draft position for Tom Brady, and I don't know exactly, but I'm just giving you a hypothetical. Maybe this year, maybe in the second or third round. So if he's in the third round, say he's number 30 in the third round, okay? That would probably put him in right in the middle of a 12-team draft. The sixth pick in the third round. I'm just saying that's what I'm saying. Average draft position is 30 for Tom Brady. It could be lower. It could be higher. I'm just giving you an example. That's all I'm doing is giving you an example. So do a lot of mock drafts. Get an idea of how your site, not your league, because once you get into the draft, things change, whether it's a live draft, you're sitting there, okay? But you're using that format, you're using that site, NFL.com, Yahoo, or ESPN, or CBS, you're using that format, it's a live draft. Every draft is different, all right? But you get an idea, just like all your other members of your league, get an idea of the average draft position of players in that are coming from that site. I'm just saying, it's not exact science. You just get an idea, getting working knowledge of it. That's one. All right. Along with that, and I always said this. I've said it from the time I've been on the air talking about fantasy football. Build around your running backs. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion. Running backs are the most important position in fantasy with the potential to put the most fantasy points on your scoreboard. Now, I know there's going to be dispute about that, what I just said, because everybody says the quarterback, and if you look at the scoring, most quarterbacks put up the most points. But I like to get running backs, especially two-threat running backs are key. They're key to me. You get a running back like a Michael Turner, maybe like an Alfred Morris. Those guys, for the most part, every now and then they do something fluky and they catch some passes. For the most part, they're a one-trick pony. Hand the ball off to them, they go power left, power right, sweep left, sweep right, things like that, or up straight up the middle. That's all they do. You hand the ball off to them, and they run with the ball. I like to get players like, and I'm just throwing for an example, players like Reggie Bush, players like Jamaal Charles, players like LeSean McCoy, and I'm picking specific players that can run with the ball and also get passes out of the ball. Get passes out of the backfield and make plays that way. And makes explosive plays that way. Chris Johnson, he can do the same thing. And Adrian Peterson, for not that much, because he's basically a runner up and down, but he's a superior talent in the running back position. But players that are two-threat backs are more valuable to me than a guy that's a one-trick pony. Quite naturally, because he can do two things. He can run with the ball and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So he's more valuable to his team. He's going to be on the field when that Michael Turner gets off and years back when Michael Turner ran the ball first and second down, didn't get a first down. Then he comes off the field and Jaquez Rogers comes on because he's the change of, in quotation marks, change of pace back. Because he catch the ball, he can run, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and that's the key. That's why they bring him in on a third down for him to be available to catch the ball. Those other backs I'm talking about, Chris Johnson, Jamaal Charles, LeSean McCoy, C.J. Spiller. These guys can do both. They're more valuable than gold to me. I mean, trust me, and especially this year, you absolutely want those type of backs. You want two threat backs. Go, I'm telling you, I'm imploring you, when you go into your draft, key in on those two threat backs, backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield, not just running the ball. Running the ball is what they do, is their main job, but the backs that can catch the ball effectively and make plays out of the backfield from catching the ball are more valuable than you could possibly believe. So, and I'm telling you, a lot of them are in the first round. Ray Rice, I'm sorry, I can't believe I forgot him. Ray Rice is absolutely prime one too. Two threat back. He can do both. Very well. So remember that going into your draft. I'm telling you, your first two running backs, your first two rounds, I know I'm going to do it. I may even go to the third round. My first two rounds are going to be running backs, and let me put it this way. Unless Calvin Johnson is sitting in front of me in the second round, I'm not going anywhere but trying to get another running back. Because think about this, and I'll say this again, and I keep on saying it, every time I bring up running backs, the drop off from the top 10 running backs, okay, to the next 10 is more drastic than the top 10 quarterbacks dropping off to the next 10, if you follow what I'm saying. So the next 10 or 5 or whatever you want to set it at, the parameter, the point differential between the quarterbacks that are in the top tier and the next tier quarterbacks are a lot closer than the running backs that are in the top tier or near the top tier and the running backs that are in the next tier below. There's a bigger point differential, okay? And the same goes for the wide receivers. Wide receivers are deep. Quarterbacks are deep. I know there's people on the other side that said, regardless of what anybody's saying, I'm picking a quarterback in the first round. Okay. They like that sexy position. They like to get those points. No problem. I'm picking up running backs first two rounds without a doubt. I've always done it, been effective, and been very competitive and won championships doing that. I even said it last year. When everybody was, the big run was on quarterbacks, grab a quarterback. Now, true, I didn't have a good year last year. Now, it wasn't because of that. It was because I did have some good quarterbacks on good teams. It's because fantasy football runs in cycles. Fantasy football runs in cycles. Sometimes, no matter what you do, regardless of the moves you make that make sense to you and make sense to a lot of other people or whatever, things just don't work out. The luck of the draw, ball spin, drops one way or another, or doesn't bounce the way you want, and before you know it, you've had a bad season. And it just so happens, for the first time last year, I had a very bad season. I think I had 8 or 9 teams, and I think I was only in playoffs two or three of those teams, which is for the most part is not acceptable for me, because usually I'm in the over 50% in playoffs and in contention for a championship, and I was even less than that. So, but it happens. It happens. You can't do anything about it. You just have to learn from it and go from there. But the bottom line is this: grab your quarterbacks. Excuse me. Grab your running backs, not quarterbacks. I'm sorry about that. Another do, okay. Get a cheat sheet with all the positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. You may want to put defenses and And kickers really, I've seen people, including myself, stream kickers from week to week. Or get a kicker that their bye week is in the 12th week or 11th week or whatever. So you don't have to worry. You keep that kicker in there as long as he doesn't get hurt. And it's even more important, and believe it or not, I've used this too, get a kicker that kicks in the dome. A lot of these kickers that kick in domes are in leagues or in divisions that are either warm weather or they have more than one team in their division, and the majority of their kicks are going to be inside. Just think about that. Ideal conditions for him to kick, and if he's a good kicker, he's going to give you decent points. You try to get points from everywhere you can get to get an advantage over your opponent. So think about that. All right? Always remember to try to pick people's brains. All right? I'm not saying have somebody pick your lineup. Pick people's brains going into your draft. Hey, what do you think about this? Sometimes, and it happens, and I've done it, and I regret it because it comes to bite me in a draft, especially in a live draft. You're talking to your other members, and you happen to bring up, or they happen to bring up somebody, and you don't want to show you're a dummy. You want to show your prowess and your knowledge, and you start spouting off things, and before you know it, you get into your draft, and they take the player that you were thinking about. And, oh, this guy, you know, you're talking about, who you think is going to be a sleeper? And you're saying, and you start spouting off somebody, and they probably never even thought about that guy. And they figured, oh, you know, that's a good idea. You know, I'm gonna look and see if I can get this guy. And hopefully he doesn't pick before you, but if he does, he grabs this guy, and you look at him, he looks at you with a smile, and you just screwed yourself. So you could be friendly going into your draft, but no, that person is trying to beat you just like you're trying to beat them. So keep your knowledge, for the most part, to yourself. All right? Remember that. Don't be afraid to go to these sites. Gather as much knowledge to build a consensus in your mind or on paper, whether you write it down, so you can have an idea of what you want to do when you get to your draft, okay? It's always key to come in with a game plan. Don't try to wing it because then you'll be scrambling come your draft time, come the time for you to draft. Now you're scrambling around. Now what should I do? Go in with a game plan. Go in with an idea of what you want to do. If you've been in this league, if you've been in a league for a while, you have a basic idea of how everybody drafts, how everybody feels about certain players. Some people, male or female, don't draft a certain person, don't draft a certain player. Now they can always change up, just like you can always change up. But you've been with these members, if you've been in the league for a while, and especially if it's a live draft, you know how these people feel, where they look for, what they go with, whether they go quarterback and then they build from that, or they go running back and then they build from that. Just like everybody knows that I build from running back. So they're not worried about me picking a quarterback in the first round because I'm not going to do that. But you never know. Some people may change. They don't go with the flow, they go opposite the flow. You never know. You got to know the people that you're drafting with and have an idea of what's going on. Okay. Let me go quickly because we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. I appreciate you guys for listening and me rant for an hour. The don'ts. Okay? Don't draft with your heart. Always with your head. Look at Look, it's always better to have your favorite players on the team. Okay, say you're a Giant fan. Okay? Now, okay, but don't draft all your Giants. You draft Eli Manning, fine. You draft Victor Cruz, fine. You draft David Wilson or Hakeem Nicks, fine. Or Brandon Myers. But don't load up on one team. Okay? Don't overlook a better player because you want the Giant. Or you want somebody on your favorite team. Your goal, if you're competitive enough, that playing in the league that you want to win, well, you may be at a disadvantage because you're being loyal to your team versus picking the better player. So don't know that. Don't ignore that. Don't fall in love with rookies. Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, RG3, Alfred Morse. These guys all burst on the scene last season, and that doesn't mean that like E.J. Manuel or Eddie Lacy or Gio Bernard or Geno Smith or Le'Veon Bell or Monty Ball will do the same thing. Now, some of those I named are probably, but don't fall in love with them. Understand that they're rookies, and with rookie play, for the most part, comes inconsistency. So, I wouldn't say it was a fluky season, but it was a unique season with all those rookies, the first set of rookies I named, Luck, Wilson, RG3, Alfred Morris, did so well. And this year, it could be the exact opposite. So draft those rookies accordingly. Don't draft them too high in place of somebody that is better. Like I said, when you know your settings, don't ignore team defense, special teams, scoring and things like that. In some formats, defenses and even special teams can be elite. That's what I'm saying. You got to know your league settings. So if it's a strong league settings that a team defense or special teams it can shine and can give you some real strong points, then you have to draft accordingly to get one of those. One of those elite defenses / special teams, okay? And don't, please, kickers, I hate to say it like this, but they are, kickers are a dime a dozen. Take a kicker in the last round. Take a kicker. Don't take a kicker early. Take a kicker in the last round. That's your last position that you should take. Don't wait till you are on the clock in your draft to start thinking about who you would want to take in a particular round. Always be prepared. Always think about one or two rounds ahead, and always keep track of what your opponents have done so far. And last but not least, this is a huge don't. Don't take fantasy football too seriously. It's supposed to be fun. I've been in a few leagues where guys have gotten hostile over guys or girls, women I should say, that have agreed to trades, and they thought it was so lopsided one way or the other, and gotten hostile about it. This is supposed to be fun, whether it's friends, coworkers, family, or complete strangers. It makes Sunday afternoons that much more fun. That's why. This is supposed to be fun. I understand it's competitive, especially if it's monetary reasons are with it, but it's for fun. All right, we come to the end of the show. Remember, next week I'm going to start the fantasy football positions, quarterback next week, and then wide receiver, tight end, and ended up with the running backs. I want to thank you for listening to me. Tune in next week. We're going to end the show with a summer song, Isley Brothers, Summer Breeze. See ya.
tune when